morning, up about 8. First I gotta thank God for another day. I've been searching all weekend on my phone so I can hear the podcast of the Crunch Zone. Videos and pictures too. I just hit the website, ain't no need for the news. I finally found a place where I can call on my own, cause they the best thing smoking on top of the throne. And that's the Crunch Zone, Crunch Zone, Crunch Zone, Crunch Zone, Crunch Zone. You ain't heard about the Crunch Zone, Crunch Zone, Crunch Zone, Crunch Zone, Crunch Zone. You need to tune into that.
Get your L's up, Cards fans. You're about to enter the Crunch Zone. Here are Crumb's Revenge, Mike Litz, and U of L Sheriff 50.
All right, we're back. I love kids' song, by the way.
Back. We are back. Heisman in the hills.
Actually, not in the house.
No.
Man, insane, huh? Yeah. What a weekend.
Lamar Jackson is joining us.
Nope. He's at a dinner tonight.
Yeah, he's got important stuff to do now. He's too big for us.
He does.
I think that ship sailed to get an exclusive with Lamar, unfortunately.
Yeah, whatever the autograph session, you know, whatever they had Louisville ever did for that's either canned or it's...
They should probably do like an autograph session for like charity or something, because they could raise a crap load of money for Lamar.
Yeah.
Just Lamar Jackson. This is the one time of year he's going to sign some stuff for you, and he'll be there for 8 hours. But it's a $20 donation to, I don't know, Dare to Care.
His mom's Petrino football family program in Florida.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Petrino Family Foundation or something. I don't know.
Man, you imagine how much crap Bobby would take for that he's pimping out his Heisman winner. Bobby can't catch a break anymore.
No, he can't do that.
People hate him, but we love him.
He probably couldn't do that, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. Pick a charity. There's a lot of them out there that are really worthwhile. But anyway.
The Single Moms Charity, that was in, what's the bowling movie? Kingpin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to the V Foundation.
To the V Foundation. No, man, but it was a huge, huge moment. How good did he look? I mean, he looked amazing.
He looked good. You know
what I'm most excited about? Like now that the initial holy crap, guys, we have a Heisman Trophy on campus. That portrait though, with his hair, is going to be there forever. For
the
all
blonde
eternity.
Bust.
Yeah.
The blonde bust is going to be huge.
The VeggieTales cut. I love it, man.
It's the first one, right? It's the first.
Oh,
They've got a lot. They've got afros. They've got bald heads. They've got the comb over the Bama
but
style.
They don't have the twist.
But they don't have the.
Wait, so
the VeggieTales hair.
That's the first?
Yeah.
And then, so I saw that, and at first I didn't know if that was real or not. I thought it was like,
oh snap.
Yeah, I'm like, that's the Lionel Richie thing, right? You know, like I'm looking at that, like the clay bus head they were making that where the girl was blind and was making Lionel Richie's face out of art where she couldn't see him. I'm like, what is that? So that's the actual thing that's going to be.
Oh, I have no idea.
They put a portrait up on the
wall. Portrait.
They have portraits of all the winners that surround
I thought I saw
stage.
Something made of clay someone made.
I don't know, man. ESPN.
I drank a little. You know, I don't know.
There's a lot. There's so much going around this Heisman thing. There's so much art and plaques and speeches and interviews that it's hard to really know which one we're talking about because there's so much stuff coming at you.
Did you guys catch the award show when they were doing the the Davey O'Brien and the Remington and all those awards? And there was the guy who was doing the painting on stage, and I was really impressed by the painting, kind of. Yeah. But his whole little shtick and his dance routine and was kind of like
was
watching
that the guy that did Damian Lee.
No, it was a guy.
That guy
who did,
was the
no. This guy did. I thought it was Pat Summitt.
Oh okay. No! Until, the guy that did it really fast.
Yeah.
No, that was the same guy that did Damian Lee and Trey Lewis. Absolutely, okay. I saw that. Yeah, and I was like, that's the guy that did the senior picture for Trey and Damian for sure. It was absolutely him.
The Spurrier painting he did, I thought it was Pat Summitt, and then he put the I was like, why are they honoring Pat Summitt at the football? And then when he put the visor on, I was like, is it Larry Culpepper, the Dr. Pepper guy?
And then they all this for some crummy ad.
And then they show Spurrier, man, and Spurrier is like my favorite person he's my favorite college football personality.
Right.
And he's never not enthusiastic, but at that moment he had the biggest what the Sam Hill am I looking at?
What is this? Is that supposed to be me?
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of looks like me, I suppose.
I'm going to pull it up late, you know, we'll talk about it later. I'm going to pull it up, but I'm pretty sure I still got some of that in my phone from the game.
I'm sure
I took
you do
a few
too.
With the cell phone picture.
Right.
Yeah, Damian and Trey kind of look like Damian and Trey. You know, it's like
a little bit, yeah.
Like you don't look like Pat Summitt.
You don't want to make fun of people when they put themselves out there in front of people and they do something like that because it's better than what I would be able to do.
Well, and he did it in such a short window of time that it's actually really impressive if you can you did that in that amount of time. It looks that good.
There's a guy from Owensboro. My buddies grew up with him. His name's Eric or Adam Kaiser. Look him up on Twitter because, dude, his work is phenomenal. He paints like murals in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And the way he does it is he paints the image upside down. And then when he's done, he flips it around. And, like, he's a UK fan.
Yeah.
But he's done Peyton Siva, and he's done, you know, a lot of rappers. I'm actually going to look into, now that, you know, I'm an adult and I need adult type shit on my walls.
What's adult shit?
I think stuff in frames.
Like, oh, it's got to be in frames.
Yeah, yeah. No, not more, like, thumbtacks.
Like, not the posters that they hand out, like, at the end. Like, that can't go in the living room anymore.
Those go in the basement.
A basement. No.
Yeah. Okay. In the TV.
That's still acceptable.
I think
in the basement.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's a boy cave down there.
But okay, here's what it was. I found the picture. So it looks like maybe Damian Lee and Taekwon Dean.
Yeah, no, that's, yes.
It looks dead up like Taekwon
Dean. Kind of Taekwon, yeah, very Taekwon. But that is the same guy, for sure, now, especially I've seen him again.
An amazing picture. I'd love to have it, by the way.
But no, so the Heisman Trophy for the school and, you know, for Lamar and his mom and the story. And, you know, we've been trying to get more out about his mother for a long time. And, you know, she wanted all the, you know, all the attention to be on him, on her son. Totally understand. But I think to really understand Lamar Jackson, you have to understand the mom. And
hi,
so
Felicia.
I'm glad that we were able to meet her and, you know, see, you know, the type of impact and the fact that she's still coaching youth football in the same way. I think that says a lot about her and her work ethic, and one of the reasons why Lamar has worked so hard at U of L since he's arrived.
One of the games that we've all enjoyed playing with each other every Monday when we meet up to record these is, what if I had told you this?
Yeah.
You know? And, pardon me. What if I would have told you that we'll have a really cool Teddy Mama Rose story that's in no way depressing? It's just all good.
Yeah.
It's not about a kid thinking his mom was going to pass. And,
yeah.
And the fight
and
that they had.
Wanting to maybe quit school to take care
of
her.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not saying Lamar. I saw some pretty bold statements Saturday night that he has pushed Teddy out of our memories and he's replaced Teddy.
No, man.
Let's not let the wagon get in front of the horses here.
That's someone who doesn't know what the hell they're talking about.
It's completely
that
it's
is
completely
not a football
different.
Fan. That's a basketball fan talking football is what that is.
I mean, we love Lamar. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Love Lamar.
Not knocking Lamar.
And
like,
there's
you don't
a place
get
up
Teddy
there on the mantle
either.
For both of them, I think. You know, and actually, I think I have a picture from the Paul Hornung Award last January, or maybe February, of Lamar, his mother, and Rose Murphy all together. I need to find that because it's probably not a great quality because it's kind of like taken in a hurry.
Well.
We need to find out. We need to see it. But that's pretty cool to have them all there. Obviously, Teddy wasn't there. Rose was there to represent Teddy
because
he couldn't make it. But, I mean, I got to find that sucker.
Well,
I got to find it.
His mom, by the way, Lamar's mom had a little bit of fire outfit herself when she was sitting on the couch. I'm like, those are, like, past-the-knee boots.
My wife was like, I need those boots.
Yeah, I need those
like,
boots.
Whoa.
Like, Lamar and his mom sold a lot of
apparel
on Saturday because Lamar's suit was fire. Shout out to Frankie Hilbert, who helped dress Lamar for his Heisman ceremony. A quick note about Frankie: he's really loaded, or he's like, you know, locked in with Joey Wagner and that group. But he's also raised money for 45 Angels, you know, for the Angel Tree. So he does a lot of great work with kids and doing stuff for the for a lot of different foundations in town. If you're at an event like Pink Prom, you always see Frankie out there. So I was really happy to see him kind of get some exposure for helping hook up Lamar. And
great photo out there of him dressing him.
I wonder, now that Lamar set the bar really high for when he gets a little coin in his pocket and is playing on Sundays and comes back for Derby.
Yeah.
Because, the suit that he did, we've seen what the man can do with a $100 budget. Now let's see what he does.
He had a $90 suit jacket but $900 shoes.
Yeah, the shoes were clean.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring this up. We get talking, but Steve Jones did tweet out, that was the first interview Lamar Jackson's mother has ever done.
Oh, wow.
So not only is she...
Not even just
she did great. She did great.
Not even just in college, also high school.
Yeah. Can we address some of the haters that have been talking a lot of crazy bullshit about Lamar's speech?
I loved his speech.
His speech was amazing, and I'm not just saying like the actual speech. They're knocking the way that he talks.
You know what that is? That's someone who isn't 19 years old, who has just won a Heisman and walked on a stage with 300 people in suits, golf clapping.
Have you ever been to
Such a weird environment.
You ever been to South Florida? That's how the guys sound. Yeah. I mean, it's his accent.
Yeah.
And it's I don't know. I was so proud of him because it was our first winner. It meant so much to the fans, and then we got to see a real heartfelt speech.
Oh yeah.
And he admitted that he was overwhelmed by it.
How could he not be?
Exactly.
Lamar Jackson during that speech.
You're 19, you just won the Heisman. What do you think? Snap, and he did say
that.
And then he went straight
this
to Jesus.
Crazy. This
so
is
his,
crazy.
His first two lines was "Oh snap," and then "Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior." I'm like, did he just pair those together? That is the best ever. "Oh snap, Jesus Christ."
It was amazing, man. It was amazing. And my favorite tweet is the picture of Bobby where it looks like he might have a single tear creeping, and it's and they put it next to the Grinch that stole Christmas.
Yeah.
And said, and on that day, his heart grew grew twofold.
Lamar Jackson giving that speech was the same Lamar Jackson that took the field on play number one versus Auburn. I bet you so much that when he wins the Heisman Trophy next year,
that'd be hard.
The speech is way different and more polished. But I liked it because it was real genuine. It was a guy who probably thought he was going to win, had envisioned himself there, had his speech prepared, and then got overwhelmed by the moment and just was a real honest-to-goodness, heartfelt, hey, I'm getting distracted, but you know what? There's all my new fraternity brothers behind me, Heisman Trophy winners, one of the most famous football players that have ever walked the planet Earth.
Yeah.
And now I'm a part of that.
And I did it as a teenager.
And I did it, and I'm 19. I'm the youngest ever to do it. And that's just like, whoa. I mean, mind-blowing. Can you imagine? What was I doing at 19? Not that. I mean, can you imagine?
Weapons behind a gas station parking lot? Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know you back then.
And so just the overwhelming of everything that led up to that moment when Jabril Peppers kind of like leaped out of his chair and was celebrating.
Lamar has to thank him for his haircut.
Right. But just the fact that all the interviews that they had done leading up to that, the type of exposure that he was getting, you know, from talk shows to newspaper outlets. I mean, he's been exposed. But then when he went to the Heisman ceremony, I mean, that exposure just went crazy. And then so it's crazy. Oh snap! But thank you, Jesus. But but after he's won, now it's like, I mean, he's going to be great with the media now. I mean, nobody's done as much media as he has at this point.
You guys think that you guys think that we might have ESPN try to pick up the spring game now?
That's a good question.
Well, they've been here before.
Well, what's going to be interesting is
they were here with Elvis.
I feel like media is going to be here a lot more in the preseason because everyone's going to have to. You have to cover the returning Heisman winner.
Right.
There's no other.
Yeah.
What else do you do in July?
Yeah.
I think you're going to see. Remember, like Strong's last year when they came and ESPN was here for a week and they did the 5-part segment. You're going to see stuff like that. So the exposure that the program got, soak it in if you're a fan of U of L because this is a great damn moment. We went in, when Mark and I were very young, but we can say in our lifetimes, they kicked around the idea of getting rid of football, guys, and here we are.
Oh yeah,
and it.
I've been to many, obviously, as you all have too, many of the Cardinals Stadium games. I remember watching Major Harris from West Virginia. Louisville was playing them, and West Virginia is really good. Major Harris is really good. And every time you almost tackled that sumbitch, he got away and made a third and long on you.
Yeah.
And it was exactly what Teddy used to do. Teddy would scramble around but get the pass that he needed. And I remember always saying that. I'm like, this is what I felt like, except for now he's on my team. Well, now we got a guy who just did the cap on backwards and did the Sylvester Stallone over the top. He's like, Teddy was great, but hope y'all are okay with a Heisman.
Yeah.
And I just can't believe it myself. It's just like, what does it mean for the program? Of course it means a lot of great things, but it doesn't. Don't assume it really means anything other than it's just amazing because you can see Oregon in 2014 wins a Heisman National Championship, and they're capable of a flop season very shortly thereafter. So it's about digging in, trying to take advantage of the of what a Heisman can bring your program, not sit on your laurels. And this is exactly what our staff is good at, is not sitting down on anything. So, that's the good news. The good news is I think we've got the right guys in place to take advantage of a moment like this.
Yeah, and, I talked about how, when Lamar wins it again, I mean, it's really going to be hard for him to do that. I mean, if you think about the guys that were in contention preseason, Christian McCaffrey doesn't get invited, Dalvin Cook doesn't get invited, there's always this Heisman bounce. And I don't want to see Lamar have that. I want to see him you know, good position to be a great pro. So it starts now when he arrives Tuesday back in Louisville and to start bowl preparation. Getting your brain to slow all this hugeness of the Heisman Trophy and the fact that you're 19 and had all this attention and focus back on football because that's what brought you there.
Yeah.
Because how often do you see the Heisman Trophy winner lose his bowl game or playoff game or whatever?
Yeah.
Derrick Henry didn't have that, okay, but he's also a running back. You know, running backs, not that they don't have to think, but they're not quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, quarterbacks have to be really well, and he's got a huge test against him, against LSU. If he's going to be a first-round pick, and I think he would be a first-round pick right now, but if he's going to be a number one overall, he has to work on getting his completion percentage over like 63%, 64%, somewhere in there, in order for NFL teams to feel comfortable about, you know, making that type of investment in him. So he needs to start that right away. If he wants to repeat, if he wants to be the number one overall pick, and these are lofty goals, but it's supposed to be difficult. Like, it's not, you know, it's not supposed to be easy.
There's only been one person who's won, more than one Heisman. And that was Archie at Ohio State. I think that coming back next year, he's going to have to do a lot, you know, to win him over. But if it's another season, like, I doubt that it's 2 years where there's just lackluster candidates and there's one guy who stands out just above everyone else.
Right.
This year was the perfect year for Louisville to sneak in and steal a Heisman.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, and I don't want to say we snuck in and we stole it. Lamar earned it. But the program being the first one that we got, you know, that you can now say
your traditional blue bloods. How, you know, we're now cracking into that.
We trail Alabama by one Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well,
that is hard to imagine.
Deshaun Watson is a two-time finalist now. If he decides that he wants to return for his senior season, which he won't, they may just decide to give it to him as a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah, well,
I was really feeling that was, first of all, let's talk about how emotional, like, what was your mindset watching it? Because at 8:01, my wife started bawling hysterically.
As soon as the show started?
I mean, 8:01, she's sitting Indian style on the floor bawling, and the dog's like, this what's happening right now.
And go ahead, tell your story. Your wife, that's her. She's bawling.
I'm just rocking back and forth. And I hope that the mic is picking that up.
Yeah. The rocking of the back and forth like this.
And then I also have a really bad habit when I'm nervous is I'll pull my hood up.
Yeah.
And then I hold the hood.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like being scared of the boogeyman putting the sheet over your
bed. My leg.
It's my binky.
Yeah.
I bounce my leg.
Oh, I do that a lot.
That's a leg.
My left
boogeyman's
leg.
Weapons are impervious to bed sheets, apparently.
I think I might have actually been stomping. Like, instead of the foot bouncing, I think I was actually, like, stomping my feet.
We'll get to your story. Finish your story.
Sorry.
I mean, it's just, you know, I'm rocking back and forth, and I'm preparing myself that, you know, he's going to get robbed. This year has sucked. after he loses the Heisman, let's just ball 2016 up and cram it in the trash, in the waste bin. And right before, I just got this sneaking suspicion they're going to give it to Watson a la the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
And the attitude will be, Lamar didn't finish strong. He's got next year to come back and make up for November 2016.
Yeah.
And when they said his name, I mean, we just screamed. And at different points, my wife and I yelled at each other as rude as possible. Shut the hell up. I'm trying to listen.
Yeah, you got to hear it. I love that he got up and he started just shaking everybody's hand like Chris Fowler wasn't there to interview him. Like, he was like, screw you. I'm going to go talk to all my new brothers here. I'm a part of this.
I got to go mingle now with my peoples.
Yeah. I'm having an out-of-body experience.
But yeah, that was about it for me. It was surreal. And then the flood of text messages from college buddies that we always text one another whenever Louisville does something great.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey man, remember when we were sitting in the frat house talking about how we would be partying if this ever happened, and we're now old and washed and have kids and receding hairlines, and we can't do it anymore because there are other states away. But we always
gotta get to bed early.
Yeah, we always try to make sure we send a text to a group congratulations, and that's
yeah.
I don't know, it felt like. Sometimes we take sports way too serious as fans, but we're alums. That's our school.
Yeah.
It felt like our accomplishment, too.
I think it's important to kind of build on that. It's like, it's important to ride the highs and not get down in the lows. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have lows, low moments, but, like, if you just think about the fact that Louisville football has a Heisman winner, that should not be a statement that we can make. In fact, I mean, for most of my life, people say Louisville will never win a national championship in football. They'll never win any major bowl game. They'll never have a Heisman winner. And now two of those three things are true. And, you know, they'll never be in a Power 5 conference or whatever major conference, and now they are. And so everything's possible, and it's because of, like, a lot of perseverance and a lot of luck. You know, like Maryland going to the Big Ten, yeah, that's luck. And in perseverance, you built the stadium on faith.
West Virginia going to the Big 12 and not us.
Right. West Virginia going to the Big 12 and not us. Lamar Jackson, everybody in South Florida discounting him because he went to Boynton Beach High School and they wanted to turn him into a wide receiver or cornerback and not seeing his raw athletic ability that Bobby Petrino could see. The fact that you could get Bobby Petrino back here a second time. Mm-hmm. So there's so many different variables and things that just are cosmically weird to create this environment that is really special. And it's really chilling when you really think about it. And I was watching with my dad, and you know, he's emotional. Mm-hmm. He's born in 1957. He's seen, you know, all the stuff that we talk about. He was there for the giving away of tickets and watching it in Parkway Field and then eventually Old Cardinal Stadium and all that stuff. He's been there. And so, you know, Louisville football shouldn't be in this position.
And something that I would like to point out that I don't know if people have realized this. You know, we always joke about guys leave our program to go coach elsewhere. Doesn't always work out for them. Hadn't worked out for anyone.
Yep.
The same day that we got our Heisman Trophy, Charlie accepted the job at South Florida, and now we get to go punch Craig Thorpe in the dick in the bowl game.
Right.
So, I mean, on a petty level, I can be petty.
Yeah.
That feels good.
Yeah.
Hey, screw you, Charlie.
But
Craig Thorpe should have never left us.
But yeah, well, yes, he should have.
We should have sent him adrift down the Ohio.
Well, just about the LSU game, like, you know, everybody was kind of going into the offseason kind of down. And then the fact that...
Wait, are you still talking about Lamar's story? Because I got mine.
Yeah, I want to hear you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You just started talking about Craig Thorpe, so I wanted to go into LSU.
I just said he shouldn't have left us.
Yeah, I just didn't want to forget that, you know, just how the universe turns. I thought that was really funny Saturday.
We will get to the bowl game because that'll be our game of the week, I guess. Although it's 2 weeks away. We're not going to talk about Eastern basketball.
You don't want to talk about EKU?
Yeah.
Colonels
I think they beat Western. That's good, I guess. But So I'm sitting there and I'm watching. I'm like, you know, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to film it with my phone. And then soon, you know, if he wins it, just punch it out there and people can watch it as much as they want the rest of the night, every shot, you know, whatever they want to do, drinking, partying, whatever they want to do. I'm like, I'll just... If he wins, just don't say anything. Just film it. And I'm filming it. He wins. I'm like, while I'm filming it, after I said, do not say anything, I'm like, all right. Like, all right, this is going to be the embarrassment video of my lifetime. I'm not putting this out. I've ruined it. I've already talked myself not into saying it. I'm sitting there thinking that, you know, he's got the stats to do it. You've seen all the popularity, the plays, all this stuff. But because of the Deshaun Watson, the way I likened it on the radio last week, I was talking about, I was like, this is like Al Pacino winning the Oscar for Sin of a Woman. He didn't really deserve the Oscar necessarily for Sin of a Woman, but they're like, you know, and he probably should have won it already. He's been in so many amazing movies, and I don't know if he's going to be in any other great movies, and he's really good here, and we just need to give him the Oscar because he's getting older, and he should have got one already. And that's what I felt like. I'm like, Deshaun had two really good years, but Derrick Henry got it last year. You know, it's like, you know, this guy's really good, and Lamar's coming back next year. I was really concerned about that. And then
I'm glad that I'm not crazy for thinking that, because I really I got that feeling, and I was like, this is how they're going to do it.
Definitely the thing. I'm like, if he loses, I feel like that's why. And I looked up the stats, I mean, because they were talking about, where's Deshaun's last four games and all this kind of stuff. And I looked at Lamar's last four games. I'm like, okay. So I'm looking at the stats, and it looks like Lamar actually had one more touchdown than Deshaun and about 300 more yards. So I'm like, so the catch-up on Deshaun was that he almost got Lamar's stats? Well, if you're almost getting Lamar's stats, then that means you're comparing to the Lamar standard. And if that's the only time during the year that you've done it that you almost got as good as Lamar, then Lamar's the winner.
Right.
I mean, that's how it works.
I was trying to come up with the logic where people said he's gained traction on Lamar because Lamar's had bad games. And I'm like, asterisk, he's had bad games for Lamar. His games have still been better than Watson's minus the turnovers.
Yeah, his three losses were better statistically than Deshaun Watson's best three games.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, oh, my goodness. Like, really? Like, the games that he lost, he had better stats than Deshaun Watson's best three games?
His Kentucky had like 400 yards and four touchdowns. One turnover was the 80-yard Hail Mary. One was when he was just trying to do so much, hit the turf. One was off a receiver's hands. I mean, the defense gave up 600 yards. But anyway, so as I was watching it, I just couldn't believe you know, like anyone else, that we were really, as fans, you know, especially the real diehard fans, were taking in that moment with Lamar as if we were his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us have really are best friends with Lamar.
You know?
It's like we're adults. He's a kid.
We're observing him.
Yeah, we're observing Lamar as a fan. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, oh, my God. I felt like it was my boy just won the Heisman. Oh, my God, my program just won the Heisman. And he is up there, and oh, my God, look how much emotion is going through him while he's trying to talk. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just so zeroed in on everything that's happening. And I totally felt that moment. And as a Louisville fan, it's like, you don't get to feel those types of moments. You have great games, and that was a lot of fun and all that. But that's just one of those moments that you're like, that one goes on the shelf. Bottle it up, put it on the shelf. There's only a few of those in a program's lifetime that you get to experience. My mom passed away, was a U of L cheerleader. I wish she could have seen it. Yeah. It was just an amazing day for Louisville football, and obviously for Lamar, but just in general, everything Louisville. It was great.
I've been saying for years that it felt like Louisville football is a program, and I liken it to a key that's in a lock, but you just can't get that lock to turn. Mm. And I'm hoping this Heisman is the WD-40 that the program needed,
yeah.
You know, and that now we really see a swing. It'll be interesting to see how recruiting shakes up.
Mm-hmm. Follow Chris Person.
Yeah.
Jump on thecrunchzone.com and check it out.
Yeah.
Dave Lackford's got you covered.
Chris is grinding on that right now, yeah. and there are new things that pop up every day, and I check in on our DM, and I'm like, what are these recruiting nerds talking about now?
Yeah.
But they know their stuff. It's fun. Follow those two because it's fun to get a good back and forth about why Chris loves a guy and Dave isn't overwhelmed.
There are total recruiting nerd fights.
There are a lot of good things coming down the pike in recruiting, especially now we're in mid-December, that you're getting closer to National Signing Day, basically a month and a half. So a lot of things are going to start popping, some of the things at which we have some idea of. That we can't talk about publicly, but there's some really good news coming, and a lot of it, actually.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun.
Well, do you all want to get to Game of the Week?
Let's do it.
All right, well, I guess we'll have to go to Game of the Week. Nope, let's go to Game of the Week.
Game of the Week.
This is amateur radio.
So we've got our new soundboard here. And the key is to press stop if you've already played it because it starts mid-thing. So
I see.
We're going to talk. We got program updates, so we're going to talk about recruiting for sure.
Yeah.
Later, you know, what Mark was touching on is a big deal because there's a lot of things, lot of hot pokers in the fire. But so we've got this game with LSU. So now we've talked Heisman. Now we've got Lamar's head is in the freaking clouds, as is the rest of the Cardinal Nation. And now we're going to say, okay, now you get. Well, hold up. In 2 weeks, you play LSU, and they now. Just put a gigantic ass target on your back because now they're just not tackling Lamar Jackson. They're going after the Heisman guy. Now Lamar is officially the most hunted man in college football since he has to return as a Heisman guy. That's different than going off to the pros.
Right. You know, I'm just leaving the end of the season, there's a big hangover after the season, and you lose your last two. And that kind of left a sour taste in a lot of Louisville football fans' mouths. But now, with him winning the Heisman, all the excitement and euphoria is now fed back into the fan base. And I hope a whole lot of our fans are going to the Citrus Bowl. I know that we travel well traditionally. We're playing LSU. And the best way to kind of keep this train rolling through the off season is to beat LSU. If you lose to LSU, now Lamar Jackson is a Heisman Trophy winner going into the offseason who lost his last three games.
Mm-hmm.
And so the criticism on him is going to be through the roof. And I don't want that to happen to him or the program. So the LSU game is huge in a lot of different ways. Preseason ranking, momentum going into the offseason. How much criticism is he going to hear throughout the offseason? And what are the write-ups going to say? That's going to determine everything in the bowl game. They're going to talk about the fumble against Kentucky. That's going to be true. But you can right the ship right now by going down, beating LSU, who has a great defense, and the Louisville defense needs to do its part to do that. But, you know, you can really capture a lot of this momentum and keep it going for another 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, and plus, we don't want to lose to Ed Orgeron. If you're listening right now, please, if you've never seen it, you've got to watch his Hummer dealership commercial. Have you guys seen it?
No. Hummer dealership commercial?
You've not seen JoJo tell him about the Hummer?
JoJo tell him about the Hummer.
Well, you all are familiar with Ed Coach O.
Yeah, Coach O.
Very Orgeron.
Yeah, he's the coach in overalls from Waterboy. And this commercial, oh, you know, I'm a Hummer man. I'm a good down in Baton Rouge and down in the bio. You need a Hummer. JoJo, tell him about the deal you got on the Hummer. And then it's another crazy Cajun man who sells Hummers that hops on the screen. It's like the Cajun version of Tony Melito. I'll tweet it out after.
I want to see this.
Yeah, it's must watch. It's a minute clip, but it's worth it. Now I'm going to do some research on Coach O because he's a very fascinating character. There's a story that I've heard, and I need to research to make sure it's true, but apparently they had a firework display planned for a game at Ole Miss, but their season went so horribly, they moved the game to a noon kickoff and still did the fireworks, and Coach O just stood on the damn field smoking a cigarette, shaking his hand. Or shaking his head, rather. As far as, like, game preview, I really don't know what to think. You know, we'll talk about it later, but James Hearns being out, that's a major hit if he can't play.
Yep.
We're not sure about his health. Prayers up to him. We didn't finish strong. I don't know how beat up we are. I don't know. I'm not going to say that I think our players are going to mail it in, because I don't believe they've quit on the season, but I don't know how healthy they are.
Yeah.
And if we have to keep – the other thing, too, is that Leonard Fournette is still superhuman.
Yep. He plays, which we think he will play.
This year hasn't been good to us. We got our Heisman, man. We don't get anything else good.
Well, you know, Leonard Fournette, stopping him, and we need to talk about this real quick, are the two outside linebackers Louisville will be without. You know, unfortunately, James Hearns and Henry Famuera were shot at an off-campus party the night of the Heisman Trophy. And we're not going to get into a lot of the details of what we know, what we don't know. We both know that they survived and that they're going to be okay. But if you want to go into the details of football, that's big, because you're already without Trevon Young, and now you're basically down to Devontae Fields and Jonathan Grenard. You're probably going to have to play Josh Harvey Clemens up in the outside linebacker role in order to kind of fill that void.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. But
I like it better covering that way than in coverage.
But you need four.
Yeah.
And without a fourth that I can really think of off the top of my head that's put in major minutes – Louisville's going to probably have to play more nickel. They're going to have to play a lot more of youthful safeties.
And that's not good against a team that just wants to pound the ball between
the ball.
Tackles.
Exactly.
Like, that's the worst-case scenario that we could have to play in, is have to stay in nickel or dime coverage, because we can't play the 3-4. I wonder if we don't play a little something that looks more like a 4-3.
Right, and that's the other thing is you can think about playing somebody kind of out of position, like a Monte Cabin or an Isaac Stewart, kind of trying to force that and trying to be like, you know, maybe play like a big peso, where they play Drew Bailey, Dejon Richardson, and D'Angelo Brown up front, and then try to maybe drop somebody else back some, and I don't know.
I'm thinking rely on Fields and Clemens on the outside, get Kane Pass in, and Clemens' usual role to play alongside, play the other safety opposite Chucky. Get him some minutes, get him some playing time, because he looked great.
Well, they need to get Zeke Cannon back. You know, he wasn't available in that UK game, and you know, so there's some defensive problems that we need to see kind of come together, and losing two guys like that, kind of that are non-football, it's a big deal. We know that they'll be okay. Hopefully they'll be available for next year. I'm going to go ahead and assume, I know they're not officially out, but I'm going to assume that they are, because they have bullets in them.
The only story close to that was the Fiesta Bowl.
Mark Sander.
And I put that in the highlight video for that. I was like, Mark Sander was stabbed in a bar fight 3 weeks later. Here he is on the field.
Like, man's game.
Yeah, but back then they just put butter on everything. So right now it's like they actually treat the injuries.
But a stabbing can be kind of like a flesh wound where you just need like – but a bullet –
well, trust me, they didn't treat injuries back then.
And a bullet could graze you, but from what we understand, without getting into the details, is that these weren't grazing. So,
if you are curious,
because
it's such an awkward subject, and something that all of us here at the Crunch Zone try to do is respect that these kids are kids and they're not property, and they have lives that are much more important than just what they do on the field.
Yep.
So, with that being said, please don't tweet at me. I doubt Mike or Mark want it either. We don't know, and what we do know, we can't tell you out of respect for them.
Yep.
Follow Jeff Greer. He did an amazing write-up of everything that's publicly known. And if you want to tweet well wishes at him, I heard Henry was on Twitter the day after the shooting, liking and according to Jeff's article.
Yeah, he was active on Twitter,
So if you want to send him well wishes and positivity, he'll see him. But we can't help you out.
Yeah. It's just an unfortunate situation. I know we're talking football, but, like, there's a lot of gun violence in our city right now. And, you know, you can, you know, some people will say, why are they at a party? They're at a party to celebrate their yeah. freaking teammate.
Because they're kids, well, and you're probably at a party yourself.
You're a fucking yeah. loser if you ask why a college student was at a party.
At a party. Right. Because they're partying. And the fact that they're in a break, and it's the finals are over, and they have to play football, and they're going to start practice here in a couple days. Well, that's why they're at a party, because they don't have anything else to do. You know what I mean? They're college kids, and they're on break, so they're going to go party. That's why they have spring break. That's what go party.
The one thing that I will throw out, just to kind of ease people's minds, because I've seen people question it. From my understanding and what's been said, it's not like these guys were out starting trouble.
Trouble
came to them, and they're actual victims here, because from my understanding, they were trying to protect and help others there. So correct. I'm really proud of our guys. I'm sorry what happened, but they got shot trying to help.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Well, you know,
because maybe if they'd been cowards and turned and ran,
right,
somebody could be dead.
Yeah. Somebody could be dead, and they're fine.
Then
they're
okay. Then some unreasonable fans out there, not just Louisville fans, but football fans, then wouldn't say mean thing, or yeah, they wouldn't say mean things about them. If they were a coward, they would have left them alone. But instead, right. they were trying to help in a very difficult situation.
That's
so
brave.
Therefore,
that's brave.
They must be terrible kids.
Because right. I'm telling you right now, fellas, if one of you pulls out a gun, I'm diving out that window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't no hero over here in black.
Scared of guns for sure. But, you know, just back to football. Defensively, LSU is a big, big challenge. And so what they really do, what I like about this LSU matchup, is that they challenge Louisville in ways that Louisville kind of has weaknesses in. So they're going to try to win. They're going to dominate the Louisville's line of scrimmage. The offensive line has got to step up its game. And so what Louisville has to do is Lamar has to be the king of misdirection, which we know he is. But he has to do it in a way that that can beat their containment, that can beat their discipline, and that's going to be difficult. The other way is by running the football. We were talking about on Louisville's defensive depth. They're going to challenge it, because they're going to pound that rock, and they're going to lean on their defense. They're going to make Lamar Jackson go down the field against their defense. It's easier said than done. I do think that the SEC West is lacking a lot of really high quality quarterback play, so that may be the difference here. But I couldn't
name their quarterback if I had to.
No, I couldn't either. Yeah. But I know that their corners at LSU are really, really special. And what happens when you have great cornerback play is that they can contain great running quarterbacks, and then they also put a lot of pressure on the passing game as well. Because if you have a running quarterback, the best thing to do is to play your best tackling quarterbacks or your corners. And that's what LSU has. These guys can play linebacker at a lot of schools, but they're DBs. So it's going to be a super big test for Louisville. I'm super excited to see the matchup. And just from a football scheme perspective, Dave Lackford, as we get through, get closer to the game, we'll talk about some of this. But, whew, I mean, it's a big-time great matchup to kind of, you know, evaluate weaknesses and strengths.
It'll see where we need to improve in the offseason.
Yes.
I'm gonna make the very – put on your sunglasses and suntan lotion. Here comes the hot take that's not blatantly obvious. If we can somehow manage in the next 2 weeks to correct the things that we couldn't correct over the last 4 months, then I think we can beat them easily, because I'm not going to sit here and act like, I tune into LSU weekly. I only watched them a handful of times because Fournette was injured so much. They weren't having a great year. If we can cut out the penalties and we don't turn the ball over, I don't think they can outscore us.
Yeah. Right.
If we keep turning the ball over, I think eventually they will just pound us into the dirt. Sure. We have to control time of possession.
You got to keep stay on the field.
Yeah, most importantly, we got to keep our defense off of it, because we can't get tired, and we can't cramp up, and we can't have bodies dropping. Yeah. And
the best football Louisville had was when they had the summer off, and they knew the big game was coming, and they locked in. They were focused. They had a game plan. They practiced with purpose. And the first month of the season, they were lights out. Mm-hmm. During the season, they get a little sloppy. They play a lot of easy teams. You know, Vegas is putting these lines out there that make you automatically, especially as a kid, you know, test your maturity on can you handle a 30-point line. That's ridiculous, right? So then you start believing the hype. And we think they were drinking, you know, the fake juice there for a while, and they developed some bad habits. Well, Lamar just won the Heisman. they have an opportunity to kind of remake their name and finish the season with it. I do think they get the focus. The only thing I wish that we could get was the Heisman without the locker room material for LSU. Because
right.
now it's like, I don't know, say anything.
Yeah, no, they're playing Lamar Jackson. They're playing they're going to look at him.
You know, they're all going to go pro based on how they do against Lamar Jackson. So guys, are, you know, so they're going to give it. We're going to get LSU's best.
If you're a senior or a junior that's planning on declaring pro,
this
on
is
the
huge.
31st, this is a big paycheck for you.
Yeah,
this could be more for you than anything you do at the combine.
Right,
because
there'll be a lot of scouts there too.
Oh, a lot of them, and which is also a good thing for some of our upperclassmen. You know, so everybody's got a chance to show out, show up. It's going to be weird, man. New Year's Eve. Watching a noon kickoff, and then we have to play Creamy Tom at 1 o'clock?
12:30.
Shit, man. Like, I love it.
It may time out perfectly that halftime of the football game is actually perfectly placed for the first half of basketball, but the problem's going to be
halftime of basketball.
Fourth quarter. fourth quarter. Well, the fourth quarter of the football game and the end of the basketball game, I think, will happen around the same time.
I'm going to have to call Time Warner Cable and get them to run another cable box to my basement. So
You're going to have to.
Side by side.
You're going to have to. But, okay, the ultimate goal for Louisville football is to win the national championship, right? I'm not going to say that LSU is better than Bama. Obviously, they're not. You know, they're in the Citrus Bowl, same as Louisville is. But if Louisville can match the physicality against LSU, then now they're in the conversation, because that's always been the problem. Louisville's always had skill guys that could compete. Obviously, Lamar Jackson just won the Heisman. But where they struggle in big games, look at the Houston game. They Ed Oliver, Kentucky, that offensive line. You know, go back to Clemson. Their defensive line. So
it's the line of scrimmage that we lose that battle.
And that's the game. That's how Louisville lost its three games this year, right? In addition to turnovers. But LSU's going to turn Louisville over.
Yeah.
That's what they do. And they also win the line of scrimmage. So if Louisville's going to – if they can match the LSU's physicality, then they have the opportunity to, if they can get into the playoffs, actually have a chance at winning.
Yep.
And so this is a test for them to sort of say – are we ready for this?
Right.
And because that's what it's all about. This isn't about really the Citrus Bowl. Yeah. This is about 2017.
Right. And this is all about preseason rankings, so we don't have the bullshit of trying to, like, did we do enough? You know, we don't have Bobby saying, well, you know, I could have put 80 on him, but there's a thing called sportsmanship.
Right.
And, right.
You know, we don't have that feeling like we're not going to be able to creep into this because preseason we started too far in the hole.
Yeah. Do you remember, y'all remember Big Louie?
Big
Jermaine Brooks?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right. Young Louie.
So, Young Louie. Yeah. So here's the deal. So He was a little up, a little down. When he was on, he was good. You know, he couldn't keep the focus all the time. But in that Sugar Bowl, he was great. And,
yeah, he
and
was.
You know, you'll see the stats. He'll be pressing Brown's 9 tackles, and you know, just guys all over the place. But holding that line and being so fired up to do it—that's what I'm hoping to see out of some of these guys. Because it's like you got one game. You don't have to play LSU 10 games. You got one game.
And on the flip side of that, we were doing Super Mario Chance.
Yeah,
the way Mario was just kicking ass in the
trenches. Oh yeah, yeah, Mario was.
He played so, like, I always liked him. It wasn't like it. That was the moment that I became a fan of his in his last game as a Cardinal. But that was just like, man, way to go out on top, dude.
Wasn't that the only game that Mario didn't start? Isn't that right? No, it was Jake. Sorry, Jake didn't start that game because he had the flu. Like half. Yeah. That's what a lot of people don't realize about the Sugar Bowl is that like 20 of our guys had the stomach bug, like 2 or 3 days leading up to that, and like they went out there and just bawled on that, and they killed Florida despite just being dehydrated. Jake Smith didn't start the game because of that, but I love that game.
One game they can buckle it down. You know, we've seen it against Florida State. We've seen it against Clemson. You know, like they can buckle down and go toe-to-toe with anybody. And I think this time off, now the only question will be is the Heisman a distraction now? Or, you know, because we're loving the hell out of
it. Man, it's
so,
going to say a lot.
If we didn't win it.
I really hope it doesn't, because that's going to say so much about the maturity. And then that opens up a lot of question marks of how do you let them get this big-headed?
Yeah.
You know, I understand it's a team sport and everything, but that's Lamar's trophy, not yours.
Yeah.
And I say that with the understanding that without – you know, the support of his teammates and the production from them, they don't get there. So we need you to keep producing, I guess is the better way to say that.
Yeah, for sure.
If you play on that defense, you should be proud of your brother. You should be happy for him. You should be excited for him. Yep. You didn't accomplish much, man.
Yep.
It's not that ain't yours outside of the team aspect.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think it is a team award. I think the defense gave him some really great opportunities to score, and he took advantage of them. And special teams, Jair Alexander had some returns that – set him up some with some short fields. I don't know, man. I think the Heisman Trophy definitely. I mean, he deserved it. I don't know, but it does create this huge target on Louisville's back, not only for the bowl game but for all of next season. Right. And if we, you know, we thought that everybody was giving Louisville their best game last year when they're like in the top five for most of the season. If they're in the top five with the Heisman winner, I mean, you're not. Everybody's studying you all off season. They may not have done that this past year.
Look at Clemson this year.
Yeah.
You know, people say that there was, you know, well, people don't say. There was a drop-off in scoring and production, and it's because that's everybody's Super Bowl.
Everybody looked at them.
Everybody studied you, not just, yeah. You know, when you're playing, if you're playing South Carolina State, maybe we do a little more Clemson review this week.
Right.
You
right.
know, and
really next year is tough because a lot of your tough games are on the road. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to FSU is on the road. North Carolina is on the road. NC State's on the road. You know, the only game that you really get at home that's, you know, unfortunately for season ticket holders is Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's going to be a big one. They're going to be down, I think. You know, I mean, they're Clemson, but.
Let's not ignore the fact we got to go to Lexington next year.
You don't have to go to Lexington. I mean, you have to try to win the Governor's Cup back in Lexington.
And if Kentucky, you know, they've got a lot to springboard off of.
Hell yeah.
You know, a month ago, I think most people thought Stoops was a cook. You know, he's done.
They don't blow. What, a 4-touchdown lead against Southern Miss? They're an 8-win team.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
Easily could have won Georgia to be a 9-win team.
Could have easily. Both of those games. Now, exactly. And then if they beat Georgia, they compete for the SEC East, correct? I mean, I don't know how the tiebreakers would have worked out.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it could have worked out. But Florida had the tiebreaker over them. So maybe they would have been in the conversation. I think Florida would have gotten them by default. But
they've
that's
got a lot
huge.
To build on. They've yeah, got a they lot to a build lot. On. And then we go in at the end of the season, and we play there.
And that quarterback, he's going to go all year. Steven Johnson's going to go all year as their starter, as opposed to them spinning their wheels with Drew Barker, which that guy, I don't understand why he ever got what he got because I've never seen it from him. But Steven Johnson, he's going to get bigger, which he needed to do. I mean, he's a good player. You know, I like him a lot as a quarterback.
I think Louisville fans have a tough time admitting it, but Kentucky is better than we give them credit for.
Oh,
their offensive line was legit.
I would kill for their O-line and their kicker.
They've had good talent coming in there for a while, though. The question has always been, can they coach this talent at all?
Well, and can the receivers stop dropping balls? If you go back and watch them, and I talked to friends of mine that watched them all year, they say, if we could have just not dropped ball, kind of like your all's bugaboo was turning the ball over. We had clay hands out there, and there were so many third and sevens that 9-yard pass gets dropped.
Yeah. Right.
And, and those drop passes kill drives.
All right. Well, we're gonna wrap up LSU. We're not going to get into predictions because we're a couple
Too
weeks
far.
Away from the game.
I haven't looked at it that close.
We're gonna get into that, but now we're going to jump over to some program updates.
Program updates.
Thank you, Melissa. I don't know who her name is, but all right. So basketball, we're going to go ahead and touch about basketball. We're going to keep Heisman's going to keep coming up. We can't stop that.
We can't stop the Heisman.
It's amazing.
He is man.
Yeah, but with basketball, you had a game that certainly started out a little questionably with Texas Southern. At one point, it was 14-13, and they were dunking and laughing, and it was like Kenyon Martin came back from the dead in Cincinnati. Just he's not dead, but college basketball dead. And then all of a sudden you look around and you won by 30-something points. So.
Yeah, TBG was there for us. Okay. Got some great post-game video.
Yeah, I did a really good job. Mark hit me up Sunday night and said, hey, you want to cover some games with me this week? And asked me if I'd join him for Wednesday's game so I could kind of learn, you know, how everything works.
Where to go.
We're going to give you inside access here. So what we do is we get down there, we set the tripod up, we go get our food on.
Yeah.
Mark was kind enough to say, you know, since it's your first time, I'm going to let you have my ticket or my seat so you can sit on media row next to Howie Lindsay and cut up with him all game. I'll be up in the stands. I'll take your spot. And that was really cool of you, man. I appreciate that.
Anytime.
And before the game took me out, so we got to sit on the players' bench and take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I realized it's time to cut the hair.
Yeah.
It was a blast. And I did a really good job, I think, Wednesday, because Mark asked me a half a dozen times, are you having fun? I hope you had fun. And I'm like, dude, I'm about to come apart at my seams. Like, it is so hard. Like, I'm a fan. I'm not an unbiased member of the media. I'm a fucking fan of this program. And I'm sitting courtside trying not to fist pump with Howie.
Yeah.
And it's hard, man. It's hard. You just want to scream. But he gave me that opportunity. It was great. And Wednesday, I just, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, so I just kept quiet and walked around. Yeah. Saturday, I got to let it breathe a little bit. We had some fun. Go to the Crunch Zone. Check out the player interviews. They are not your typical player interviews, no. And I got them when there was no one else around, so they are exclusive to the Crunch Zone.
Nice.
Find out about Jay Henderson's hair, who has trash taste in music. you can hear them defend their music. I won't say who, but he just kept yelling at them, "That's not fair. It's not in English. You just don't understand it. It's good."
Which could be one of many players, as it turns out.
That's why I threw that out there to get y'all thinking. But got Jalen's take on ranking Air Jordans. And he was really excited when I asked him that. Like, just Jalen, I'm going to have a lot of fun with Jalen on games when I go with Mark because he's got such a great personality.
Yeah.
And I thought that, you know, this would be something fun. I was sitting there thinking during the game, you know, I'm just a fan. Mm-hmm. I'm a graduate. I'm a fan. And there's a lot of people around me that pay a lot of money, and I'm looking up at them, you know, from the court. So rather than going back and trying to be Eric Crawford or Jeff Greer, you got to dance with what got you invited to join the Crunch Zone, right?
That's right.
You know, this isn't Joe back there. This is TBG in the locker room. So I decided I'd lighten the mood up a little bit, ask him some questions.
They had some pretty cool responses. Yeah.
Well, I think they had fun with it.
That's the best. You know, you get to know the kids. You get to have a laugh. Everyone's asking the same questions.
Right.
You know, so it's like, did you feel like you dribbled too much? It's like, I don't want to know that.
Yeah.
Rank Air Jordan.
Especially after a game
against
Texas Southern.
Because we might have a fight about this.
Right. Oh,
I might have an Air Jordan above your Air Jordan.
I mean, Q and I have an actual back and forth when I asked him, so what's on the playlist right now? And he gave me his answer, and I was like, really? And, you know, we just had a back and forth about, all right, man, I'm going to check it out. And then VJ got in on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's cool, too. I kind of like to take a step back a little bit and get – if I can get multiple players interacting, get that filmed.
Turn this thing into a fist fight.
Oh, yeah. And Donovan – I got back there just a second too late, so I don't know how this started. But when I got back there, Donovan was holding a camera while people were interviewing Deng.
Okay.
So I think I'm the only one that was there that stepped back
to
record him.
I didn't see anybody anywhere else.
I don't think anybody else noticed
until
Donovan handed the camera back and sat down, and then I think everyone was like,
We need to hang on to some of this footage, too, from the, you know, because whenever you have fun moments, they always do really well in a Crumbs Revenge video.
Yeah.
But no, I think, you know, it's cool. And some of these games like that, you go to Texas Southern, and the guy did have like 28 rebounds.
26 rebounds.
26.
Most
ever. Against Louisville. In the Yum Center?
In the Yum Center. Yeah.
So that's a ton. Yeah. And that's notable. But, like, really, like, people, it's mid-December, they're thinking about their Christmas party, it's Saturday night, okay, give me a reason to check in. So it's cool.
And it was the day of the Heisman, you know. And I'd also like to point out, number of Heisman winners at UofL before I got media access?
Zero.
That's right.
Heisman Trophy winners since I got clearance. One.
A lot of good things are happening.
We are not trying to say anything. You don't need to be afraid, but just maybe you should consider that in the future.
The reason why I say that is because the next time Mark's kind enough to say, hey, fill in for me, I need to take the day off, I'm going to ask Tony Hicks, you know, like, I'm just going to go up to him and approach him like I have a serious question and be like, so, you know, do you have anything to say? Do you have anyone you want to thank? Maybe God, your parents? Because before you got here, we had zero Heisman winners.
That's
but
right.
Since you've arrived on campus, we now have
one.
Yeah.
So I think it's time for you and I to take a little bit of the credit that we deserve.
Absolutely.
That's right. You know, we need to figure out.
I think it's warranted, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Tony's also a great guy. Fans, I know fans are kind of fickle on him, and they don't know what to think.
Trying to get to know him. You know?
He is a very, very, very entertaining young man. I'd met him at tailgating earlier in the year. Great dude.
Well, fan owners, you know, because that's what the fans are. They've got a financial stake in the program, and they get profits and losses. So they're very hard on their employees, these players. So I'm sure they'll get to know Tony, hopefully through some of your interviews. That would be great. For the basketball team overall, I think, you know, a lot of people are still like, well, I want to see more VJ King. Dan Goodell, not so much, and all this kind of stuff. It's like, man, just let Rick do his thing. It's like, here's how good your team is. You're frustrated with the team is. What's Baylor currently ranked? Like four? Something?
I think they're in the top five, yeah.
So you got a team that's good enough to literally bury them down by 20-something points. Now we got to work on that whole thing and where they came back.
Maintaining it.
But you've got that Purdue is like 12 or something like that.
And they're looking like they're going to win the Big Ten.
Buried them down about 20 points. You know, so you've got it basically, you know, if you just go on what you're seeing this first third of the season, because we're almost at the third mark, is you've got a team that can compete in March. You've got a really good basketball team. And as you look at the team, you see Ray, and you see VJ King, and you see Dan Goodell and Donovan. They're like, They're all so young. It's like, don't act like these guys are juniors or seniors. They're not. Sophomores are historically streaky. So they're only going to get better. So at our worst point, you could argue under a Rick Pitino guided team that this will be the worst they play all year.
This,
you know?
Yeah.
And they're good enough to put a Baylor team down by 20.
I think VJ's mature enough that I don't think we're going to have the typical issues that we do with a young five-star freshman.
I love
him.
I love him.
He doesn't – I don't get the impression he really cares about minutes. He knows that it's all part of a process and he's going to do his part. And Coach Pitino said at the press conference that, you know, the reason why he didn't get a lot of minutes in the Texas State game is because he told him, when you go in there, we need rebounds. We need effort. That's what we need from you.
Yeah.
And he didn't get it, so he yanked him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, that's how Rick coaches.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, Coach Pitino. I don't know the guy.
I'm mentors. You know, that's rears Rick. These
but that's
kids.
How, that's how he develops his kids. And I said it on the last podcast we did, trying to assess March and December with a Coach Pitino team, that's a fool's errand.
Yeah.
This is not what they're going to be in March. This is not the finished product, mm-hmm. but – it's important that we do that. VJ does come along and he gets his confidence up more so than any. He needs to be confident going into March because I do think he's the spark plug and he is the difference between was this a Sweet 16 run
right.
or a Final Four run?
Yeah,
it could be. And you know, for me, you know, this team, I think a lot of people would feel better about where the basketball team is if they don't have these long dry spells and scoring. I think people really feel good about their defense. I think that they could feel better about their hustle. You know, I think that's lacked at times, especially in the Baylor game, which they obviously lost. But they have one more tune-up game. EKU on Saturday night, or Saturday at noon, sorry. And then they play Kentucky. And then they play Virginia. Yep. And then they play Indiana.
And they play Notre Dame.
And then they play Notre Dame. And now you're into the ACC schedule. Yep. And so, you know, I think people would feel better if they had a few more tune-up games to kind of get VJ, get his feet more wet, and maybe get Tony Hicks more involved and have, you know, more hustle during that time. But maybe some of that hustle just isn't showing because it is mid-December, and they have only played a handful of, like, really kind of viable teams. The Purdue game was big. You know, that's a huge win. The Baylor game would have been a huge win. Absolutely. Wichita State, I think, was still really quality.
Yeah, top 25.
But when you're talking about the level that they're about to walk into,
yeah.
it's different stratosphere. I mean, we didn't realize what Baylor was, I don't think, at the time. The fact that they could get up on them 22, I think, says something. The fact that they gave it all back and lost the game says another thing.
They're all freshman sophomore. You know what I mean? They
are.
You accuse the guy, right?
Right. So. This three games is going to determine, I think, in a lot of fans' minds, of whether or not they can get to where they need to be in March. Because, you know, this is a tough stretch, man.
No matter how the stretch pans out, fans will overreact.
Right.
One way or the other.
Yeah, that's just
– What if they split? What if they split? They go 2-2. Is it a bad reaction?
If one of the two is a win over Kentucky, then we're on cloud nine. You know how –
So they're okay with losing to Virginia and IU and beating Notre Dame?
We're going to lose some of those games.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not
going to –
Our team typically does not turn a corner until like mid to late February. Mm-hmm. So, I mean
– Right.
We're early. Sorry we got some tough games in the way. We're going to lose some of those games. It's okay. The question is, what do we learn from those losses?
And Coach Pitino said Wednesday night in his press conference that what he was disappointed in that game and what he's disappointed in overall is that outside of David Levitch, nobody wants to pass the ball. And it's not necessarily a selfish thing, mm-hmm. I don't think. I don't think he said that, but he said it's you know, Coach Pitino's really big on pass up a good shot if someone's got a great shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he always talks about how much fun the Golden State Warriors are to watch because that's what they do. I asked Donovan about that, and I thought his answer was really simple, and not in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
It was very obvious, and it's like, oh, yeah, hey, that makes sense. They're still learning how to play with each other.
Right.
You know, yeah. VJ is a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Dang was hurt most of last year.
I still think Dang is passing up good shots.
I do too.
That's the one thing that might be like, be more selfish. Have more confidence in your shot, you know, because mm-hmm. I think he's better when he drives to the lane, but like you have to keep defenses honest. You cannot have them shade down onto your postman.
Yeah, which is what we talked about on the last one about, you know, man, work on that mid-range jumper that you had in high school. Like, where you had one in AAU, where did it go?
Right. Mm-hmm. Just have confidence. Oh, you're not throwing on the floor.
You
man.
Will.
Grip
but
it and rip
us
it.
Fans will beat him down there.
But I'll tell you who sitting courtside, I'll tell you who really impresses me in person, and I never thought I would have been saying this, but Mango is such a huge part to our team.
Oh yeah,
he's the. No, I know. This is one time that I am
Mango
not
gets
opposed.
Beat up on Twitter all the time.
Oh, he does. Yep. And some of my friends were just tweeting just crappy stuff, like, hey, asking this, and I'm like, no, I don't want to get punched by a 7-foot man.
He's actually huge.
Yeah. Screw you. He's really polite and he's a nice guy. He's a really I'm not going to be mean to him. Like, yeah.
But
no.
Sometimes he does seem like he's not even. He just kind of has a general idea where the rim is, and he's just throwing the ball like in its direction. Yeah. It would be better sometimes if he had more of a plan, or just took like it doesn't have to be a half second, but just a moment.
He hit his first three sky hooks, and I was like, "What the yeah, hell what am happened? I watching?" But see, go Mango,
that's
go!
What happens when he has a plan,
right?
You know what I mean? As opposed to when he gets rushed, and it's not like a thing of time, but just you know. Lamar Jackson just taking a moment during the Heisman ceremony. Just take the moment.
I think
everything
it's really
to come in.
I think you're going to see his importance as the year goes on, and that's that. You know, somebody said, "Tell me what he brings to the table." Like honestly, how's he worth a scholarship? And I said, maturity.
Yeah,
defense.
He brings physicality, yep. Defense, hustle, and he sets the tone for the young kids around
yeah.
him.
Yep. Now, in terms of passing. I think one guy would be really interesting to get involved. Two guys, really, Honest and Ray.
Honest, yeah.
Because both those guys are like Honest is already ready, but I think that the team right now uses Ray so much as a finisher that I think that they're really missing out on an opportunity because I think he can be a very good passer when they've given him the opportunity.
Points. They need
yeah.
points.
Yeah,
and Honest, hopefully, he'll be playing by Kentucky. So he's been out.
Yeah, don't they think he'll be
games.
Back for EKU?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You know, he was wrapping up the last of his concussion
Well, they
protocol.
Thought he might also be ready for the last game, and then they decided not to.
I think he wrapped up the last of it on Sunday, and he passed his test.
We're going to need Honest against Kentucky because I think Chinonu Wanuaku just got another moving screen violation.
Anas and Ray, Jeff Greer wrote a great article about some number crunching. He does like getting into the numbers. He does like trying to just find the weird associations. But he said the largest plus-minus combo was Anas and Ray. Mm-hmm. So that's something we haven't seen in a while because Anas took the bow from Ivan Dragov, or whatever his name is, from Rocky IV.
He took a shot. Yeah, he took a shot.
So, that is going to be something. I really hope he is back for Eastern Kentucky. Sounds like he's going to be. Because we need him to go out and get a run in, get a few passes in, get a few shots in, run the play a few times because
maybe
the next game is Kentucky.
Maybe another 6-block game. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the calendar is moving really fast, and I think that people don't realize that basketball is about to get real.
Yeah.
It's really like the preseason for basketball has one more game, and then it is all on.
And you know what? Honestly, if you hadn't asked me to go with you on Wednesday and to cover it Saturday – I'm not usually mentally like fully invested into basketball until there is no more football for me to watch.
I'm the same way.
I wish I was better. I've said this for years. I'm a terrible Kentuckian outside of my bourbon consumption. Mm-hmm. I'd prefer football over basketball. I could take or leave the horse track. I'm not good at being from Kentucky, which I don't think that's a bad thing.
You got shoes on.
Right?
You know, that's one of the things.
It's nice.
Yeah, I'm excited about the team. From the beginning of the year, I've maintained we've got so many freshmen and sophomore that we're going to rely on. And I consider Tony Hicks a freshman sophomore when it's your first run with a team, mm-hmm. running plays you've never ran before. It's just like a first-year player. It is a first-year player in this program. So I know there's going to be ups and downs. I know they're going to get better. The talent is there, and that's the only thing you need to be concerned with. Do we have the talent to compete in March? And we have the talent. Do you have the coach? We've got the coach.
We've also got a great collection of attitudes from what I can gather and tell, and from what, talking to the guys in media at the game, hearing all the behind-the-curtain chatter.
He's selling out. Yeah. TBG sold out.
Oh, TBG wore a
touring. Pouring. You want to give me some money and a t-shirt? I'll wear it courtside for you, buddy.
Next time we'll tell him not to wear a tuxedo.
Right.
TBG came out with a hat and a tuxedo.
Am I overdressed?
The people that sat behind him in the first two rows.
I had the red Dumb and Dumber one, and I was when I met up with Mark, I was like, you were supposed to wear black. We discussed this.
Yeah.
Now I look like the fool.
Please take off your top hat.
That's hilarious.
No. But, just when you think about some of the personalities we've had in the past, and I'm not going to throw dirt on anybody's name, but we know there have been some guys that weren't necessarily fully invested in the Louisville First cards forever.
Blankenbaker.
Me.
Yeah, the Keith Pointer of the squad.
Fired his ass.
The guy's got ulterior motives and is thinking about the draft and thinking about you know, his professional career. I don't get the impression that there's a guy on this team like that.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of guys that understand how much work it takes to get to the next level.
Yeah. Right.
That's a true professional.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a pro is. That's what Terry Rozier brought to the table.
Oh, that's exactly
Terry
what he
Rozier was a pro from day one.
Yep.
You know, and that's why he left as a sophomore, and that's why he's getting minutes now. And you know, you've seen him do really well in the pros.
Because he hustled and he rebounded, and he was all about work.
If you're not getting better today, then you're affecting your tomorrow. And Terry really takes hold of that. Some of these guys just think, well, they think I'm great now. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
It's like, well, by the fact that you just said that and you weren't working on your game, you just got worse. Someone else got better.
Donovan really reminds me of Terry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just a little bit more open. Like he is a hybrid of like a little bit of Russ's personality with Terry's work ethic. And that's not saying Russ didn't have a tremendous work ethic as well, but I think Terry really is that bar.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a rebounding point guard, that's you know that guy's out there to work. And another thing that I'd like to point out to the people that weren't in attendance on Wednesday, we can now finally bury the age-old argument that we have all been furiously tweeting at each other about for years. During cool versus uncool, one Donovan Mitchell said, social media, cool. Tweeting at recruits,
not
uncool.
Nice.
Not cool.
It's not cool.
He said, what he actually said was, cool. Social media, not cool. Tweeting at recruits, trust us, guys. Our coaches have this covered. So he just buried it right there. And that's been the argument I think every normal, sane person has said when you're like, stop tweeting these children to come to school. We have coaches that do that.
Yeah.
And so now, just know that if you tweeted a recruit, you're in direct violation of the University of Louisville's request to not tweet at the
including
damn children.
Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell.
Who's the nicest kid. Why would you want to disobey a nice kid like that?
But no, with Donovan and Terry, I like that comparison a lot because I think that last year I did a statistical thing of Donovan and Terry, their freshman year, and how they played. And Donovan actually outperformed Terry. But my big
probably
question.
Had a lot more minutes too, didn't he?
No.
Really?
Very similar. And so it's very similar, and you know, so Donovan was mostly ahead, and Terry had a couple but they're like almost like mirror images. But now that when I'm watching their sophomore seasons, I think what's really going to separate Terry from Donovan, really, and why Donovan may be back for another year from what I've seen so far this year, is that Terry Rozier could get to the rim like nobody's business, and he got to the foul line way more often than Donovan Mitchell is at the moment. So if I'm Donovan Mitchell, what I have to change is I have to either find a way to get more jumpers, because that wasn't necessarily Terry's game as a sophomore, or I need to get more aggressive to go into the rim. Because that's the thing that's setting them apart
from that, especially during the droughts, you know, that are frustrating.
Right,
the drought busters get into the line. We've got a pretty good free throw shooting team. Bust the drought.
Right,
get aggressive.
You got to have those, and I like Ryan McMahon as a drought buster in a big way. I mean, I think that I think he gives you a lot of negatives in the half court defense.
Yeah,
but his open court defense. It's pretty good, actually. He's really good at like getting steals and disrupting the ball, and he's really good on offense as well. It's the half court defense that kind of that's probably what's giving him the most trouble at the moment.
It's tough to defend a guy when you weigh 75 pounds. You know, that's been the one. I'll tell you what, man. That was my biggest takeaway from standing and next to all these guys is. Can we get these guys a milkshake? Like they don't have eating restrictions anymore. Why? Why is every one of our guys looks like they wear a 32-inch waist?
Yeah, exactly. When you're 7 foot tall and you weigh only a few pounds more than I do,
and Rick Pitino makes you run unhealthy. As much,
and I'm not unhealthy. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Eat something, please.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's like, man. Well, all right.
Well, I'm excited about basketball, so we'll get Anas back onto the court. We'll see how that dynamic kind of plays out as we lead into the Kentucky game. I think Kentucky has some things they need to work on. So, you know, it's coming to the Yum Center. This will be definitely a big time for the fans to try to make that, the sixth man in that kind of game. But now we're going to move on, and we're not going to keep you too much longer, but we're going to move on to some dudes talking.
Little of that, it's time for Dudes Talking.
Thanks, Melissa.
Is her name actually Melissa?
I don't know. That's a,
Let's call her Jackie next week.
From now on, after every
time. She gets
time.
A new name every week.
Yeah, we're going to rename you.
Good looking, Brenda.
Yeah. Now, Melissa, go back over there and sit down. We just have her walk up to the microphone. Yeah. We do this all live.
I can't believe we just said all that right in front of her.
Yeah.
We're terrible people.
Yeah. So, all right, dude's talking. Now, we're gonna touch just a couple different things. I don't have, like, some mega topic, but a couple things that were talked about today. And a bunch of different things. So, one was Lamar Heisman in the photos. So, what were your thoughts on the Manziel photo? What were your thoughts on the Calipari photo?
I thought the Cal photo was actually cool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to catch shit for this, I know. Hear me out. I don't remember which player it was and for what team. I just remember seeing it and like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. They showed all the pictures of Lamar and Deshaun hanging out prior to the award ceremonies. And they were having a great time. They were two kids from the South in New York City.
Yep.
And they were living it up. And the comment on it was, if the guys who actually hit each other on the field can get along, don't you think the fans could do a little better?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the Cal picture. And I think it's really cool that he did that. Mm-hmm. I would hope that if Kentucky had a Heisman winner and Rick was anywhere in location with him, he would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
although Rick doesn't do social media, but just a photo.
Right. But, if a photo popped up.
Yeah.
It was a big moment. It was a big deal. Johnny Manziel, stay the fuck away from our Lamar.
Like, no doubt.
I'm not worried about Lamar being around Johnny. I'm worried about Johnny around Lamar. And what I mean by that is Johnny seems like the kind of guy that thinks slipping MDMA into your water would be a dude, that's a solid prank.
Yeah. You want a party? No. Oh, too late. What do you mean too late?
You'll find out in 20 minutes.
And hey, talking about Johnny though, they didn't cover him at all until he was up on stage.
Right.
And wasn't that sad to see him, like, the look on his face and everything? It was almost like that was the moment nationally that he realized, what the hell did I do with my
life? Right.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he didn't look very good, to be honest.
Well, he looked washed down. He had his water with him. Yeah. I think he's probably still letting some stuff pass through his system.
Yeah, and unfortunately,
in a constant state of that.
Unfortunately, I mean, I hate to see Johnny Manziel that way. I hate to see any person going through that.
It's addiction.
But it's... I mean, gosh, I mean, what he had, what most people would kill to have, it's just sad to me. I didn't care about the Calipari photo at all. Don't care. I didn't want Johnny Manziel in his hotel room, in Lamar Jackson's hotel room. I didn't like that at all. I'm sure it was fine. I'm sure there was other people in the room. I'm sure, but for me, Johnny Manziel's been in a lot of different TMZ hotel rooms, and it just the connotation. And if it, you know, if it was Teddy Bridgewater, the uncorruptible, you know, but we're talking about 19-year-old Lamar Jackson, who's full of life, and you know, he stays in the room a lot, but he's a guy that's kind of like enigmatic. You know what I mean? Like he's. He's out there. You know what I mean?
The only reason why I wasn't overly concerned is, and as my wife pointed out when I saw the picture and said, my God, this is terrible. And she said, Felicia will whoop his ass if he tries anything funny with her boy.
Yeah, I said, okay, you're right.
The mom that runs a football academy will destroy that cokehead if he tries to get out of pocket.
She put pads on. Decleat him.
But one thing that happened in the ceremony, this is something I always watch. Every Heisman ceremony that I've ever taken the time out, when they announce the winner, whoever it is, I want to always note if the guy just stands up and goes up to the podium or if he pauses for a second and gives the hug or shakes the hand of the dudes that he was up against. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I was really happy that Lamar did that he took the time to talk to Didi, to talk to Bake, to talk to Deshaun Watson, and just be like, hey, and Jabril Peppers,
we had a great week.
Hey, this was a lot of fun, y'all. You know, thank you so much. I can't believe I won, and then go up there and shake the other Heisman. I always think it's interesting, and I've seen it. It's only happened maybe five or six times when a Heisman winner has won and just gone directly up there and just left his opponents or competition backseated. I don't know. I don't know what that says. I just always pay attention to it.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and jump on the photos real quick. Yeah. Mark's jumping around like
a water spider. But
y'all know what a water spider
is. It's dude's talking. I can do that.
Well, have y'all ever been to a creek and you see a water spider that zip right, left, right,
it's dude's
right,
talking.
Right,
I can
left,
do
right,
it.
Left.
I'm allowed.
Yeah, you are allowed.
I'm allowed.
But I'm just going to get this in real quick. Then I'll get over there. With Calipari, I saw totally different. I'm just like, that just shows you the power of the Heisman Trophy. Like, what Louisville just got their hands on, what Lamar just got his, you know, his hands on, is like a superhero status. You know, it's something that you know, we're going to be trying to figure out, you know, how to process this mentally for a long time. Calipari's like, hell yeah, I'm going to take a picture of the Heisman winner. You kidding me? That's like a rock star. And then Lamar's like, hell yeah, he won the national title. This would be a great photo. So it's like almost like a mutual rock star photo is what that was. You know, I mean, Calipari, you know, hats off to him for the success he's had. And then recognizing Lamar having his success. So I didn't have a problem with it at all. Same thought as everyone else had with Manziel. I was like, God, get Manziel out of the guy's room. Now, I'm glad that photo was in his room, not at a bar. I'm glad in that photo was whatever, a plate of shrimp and a Gatorade, because Lamar was probably like, all right, yeah, I'll take a pic. He's a 19-year-old kid. He's not going to say, no pictures, no pictures. Hey, right. I just won the Heisman. Oh, yeah, you won the Heisman, but still, no pictures. So in my opinion, it was, you know, Lamar's a kid. He's 19 years old. He's afraid of every adult. No, the adult is 23 to him.
Yeah, well, and he can't get into a bar.
You're like, yeah, I'll take
legally.
I'll take a picture. You're Johnny Manziel.
Hell, maybe that says a lot about Johnny. I hope that the guy's getting clean and sober and he's getting his life together, because, you know, now that I think about it, maybe it's probably a good thing that 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, he was at the hotel and not at the hotel bar.
And everyone's like, well, why was Manziel at his room? I'm like, Heisman hosted it. That hotel hosted it.
They're probably all in the same hallway.
They're all on the same floor.
They're all on the same, you know,
you can guarantee it's probably got security on it, and they're like, hey, man, I'm in room. Come over here. Let's holler at me. Let's talk.
I don't know if Manziel was there all week like a lot of the guys, the former Heisman winners were, but you would hear about Lamar talking to all these former Heismans all week long. So they not only have talked all week, but, you know, they got to know each other, so they know kind of where they're at.
What Heisman winner no longer looks like a former Heisman winner? My vote goes to Ron Dayne. Ron Dayne looks like a plumber.
Yeah,
he looks like a high school football coach that everybody's like, man, if he hadn't torn that ACL, we could have won state.
I don't know, man.
He looked pretty.
A lot of those older guys.
I caught a screen grab of Ron Dayne where he was checking out Felicia. I don't know if he's married, but he looked like he was ready to risk it all.
Oh no, he's ready.
He had the thirstiest look, and you know, I mean, when you just hit pause on your DVR, no one ever looks great. It's the Jeff Greer effect of how the poor guy always gets made into a meme.
They could fix that in 1 second, and they never do.
Never
it is so easy just to say, hey, let's just make a little quick screen grab of we'll make it. Well, they'll say Courier Journal with Jeff Greer, and we'll have your, you know, you'll be in a nice suit, and you'll be sitting at your desk.
That's a Quasimodo.
And every time we do a video, we'll pop that little picture on there. No, we're going to do it with your one eye open and your tongue coming through your teeth.
Make sure to ask Jeff Greer what time and channel the game is on Saturday.
Keep
at
it
noon.
Going.
I can confirm he really enjoys that. He appreciates it.
I mean,
he likes to interact with us.
He's nervous energy, so that gives him something to do during this time. So you're really helping him out by doing that, by asking that question.
And don't feel like you're flooding him, because he multitasks as well as any human I've ever encountered.
Exactly. I mean, he can really handle it.
To go to yours now. So you were talking about Harambe, about Lamar and how he handled the Heisman with Harambe. And, you're 19. I mean, when I was 19, I was significantly more immature than Lamar appears to be. So I don't know how I would have handled it. But watching him shake the hands and go to the handshake line, you know, I don't even know if he knew if he was supposed to go here or there. I think he was just literally, like, didn't know what to do. And he was just, like, just trying to find his way through a room like the lights were out. Because when you hear your name like that, and I'm speaking from experience, I can't imagine what he was going through when I won my Heisman. But I thought, you know, I thought everything about it was great. You know, because the reason why is because everything, you could tell he's a good kid, genuine. You could tell he was nice. He was being polite. You could tell that everything that he was doing was real, and there was nothing fake. He had his speech handwritten out, and he managed to make a handwritten speech turn into a very real speech, because he had to keep interjecting the emotions that were coming out of him. So that could have been a really boring, dry, here's a speech. Instead, you're like, this is really fun, and that's a 19-year-old kid, and man, he's having fun, I'm having fun.
And you know something that I thought of afterwards, I think it was yesterday when I was still soaking it all in, is that speaking in public is difficult.
Yes, it is.
But if you're given a presentation about something that you're not attached to, you know, if you're doing it for work, like say they tell you, hey, you're getting up and you're speaking in front of the board or whoever, you know, CEO is going to be in there, you get to kind of like remove yourself from the moment and just focus on being a robot, reading this robotic speech.
Yep.
Lamar was put in a situation where you have to give thanks for everything, every good thing that ever happened in your life to get you to where you are.
Right.
And that there is no preparing for that. At that age,
yep.
I just don't. I don't believe so.
Right.
You know, I'm in my early 30s, and if you put me in that situation, I'd probably go up there and just be like, "Oh snap! Thank you, Jesus Christ."
Wow, this is really happening.
Drop the mic. kick the mic.
My teammates are great. The fans are great. Coach P is great. Mom, I love you.
Now, I'm going to give him one critique.
What's up?
I'll give him one critique.
What's that?
At the end, he said, go Cards.
And he threw up the thumbs up.
He did a thumbs up.
It should have been an L. Do the L, Lamar. Don't do that.
Come on.
At least he didn't throw up the backwards L.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
That's the wrong direction. That's right.
No, dude, throw up the L, man, right here.
You know what, man? Baby steps. I'll take hearing a go Cards at the Heisman Trophy.
Hell yeah.
We can.
But the thumbs up was
me. Lamar made us all very
proud. I didn't even realize that until you all pointed it out, you jerks. Now it's kind of like when I go back to watch the 2013 championship, and I'm reminded that we did it in camouflage sleeves. And I'm
go.
And I'm like, damn it, we just can't have nothing, can we?
Can't have anything. But no, as soon as he started lifting up his hand, I was like, oh, it's the L, here it comes. And it was the thumb.
I'll tell you one thing about his style. And it's I've been watching Cam Newton do it for years. Those high water pants and the slip on slippers with no socks. Like, they kind of look like they're dressed like villains from Chinatown, from what was the 80s movie with Kurt Russell? Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. That's what they remind me of, like just villains in a dojo.
Yeah, well, and, that probably works well for him also because when you're tall and you have a strong frame, you can wear anything the hell you want. I know this because one time my wife and I, we went on a trip. We were out of the country, and everyone there was very skinny, wearing wonderful clothes. Like, you know, let's grab a shirt or something. We'll bring some kind of cool back you can't buy. We put this stuff on. We felt like we were just being stuffed sausages into clothes. Like, you got to be skinny to wear this stuff. This is not working out.
Dude.
Not at all.
Hey, man.
Lamar could have made wearing swimmies and a football helmet look good up there.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than seeing an adult trying to shove 10 pounds of flour in a 3-pound satchel. You know, it's not a good look.
Now, apparently.
Sorry.
Well, it's okay. Mark, what do you got there? What's going on down there?
I don't know. It's just my phone. I was reading a story.
Oh, okay. we'll catch him up. We'll catch up, Mark, here in a little
bit. Catch up with me in a little bit.
The Fendi shoes were certainly. I didn't know that those were eyeballs. Like, I had no idea. The Fendi Monsters. Okay. I'm like, oh, those are cool shoes with a little yellow mark on them or something like that. So Danny Cannell was on today. He's like, yeah, here's my version of them. And he's like, I don't have the ones as cool as Lamar. He actually said that Lamar actually had a nicer pair.
Has there ever been a man more confident in clothes he could not wear than Danny Cannell? It is really becoming a running joke for me. Between
the turtleneck.
Actually, he was actually like one of the first, you know, like celebrities.
Yeah.
Air quotes. Because, That responded and had an interaction with me on Twitter back when I was just trolling people relentlessly.
Yeah.
And it was because he used to have this show called Rewind or Remix or something like that. It was a late night talk show on ESPN.
Yep, I remember it.
And he would wear like a T-shirt that looked like a brand that you could get at Walmart.
Yep.
Like an old retro Rolling Stone shirt, and then like cargo pants. and I remember ripping into him for wearing camouflage cargo pants on television and being like, Daniel, you're 30 years old. Yeah. Stop calling yourself Danny.
Yeah.
Get the pockets off the side of
your
pants.
You're on ESPN.
Yeah, like you got a real, you got a decent gig. What are you doing to yourself?
Ruin this.
And then when he tries to dress up, he always looks like number two from Austin Powers with the turtleneck and the blazer.
Yeah.
I just want to yell at him. Who does number two work for when he wears his turtleneck?
he's a pretty nice guy. He actually has covered some Louisville baseball games. When a guy like that gets into the press box at Louisville baseball, really easy to interact with, as opposed to when it's a football game and he's there to cover the football game or whatever. It's like a million people, so it's not the same.
He is super nice, super Christian. He played football with my friend who lives in town now, but. My friend played tight end, something on defense, and also running back on that team. And it was actually my friend who was on the Florida 2A. I think they were 2A or 3A, wherever he was, in West Palm or Fort Lauderdale or whatever.
You're just shaking your hand like crazy.
I'm trying to think, yeah. So whatever it was, I was trying to remember.
Mike needs a drink.
Yeah.
Settle down.
Thumbs up.
You coming off of it? You coming off of it, buddy?
So I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was my friend Jeff who actually was on all the All-State teams, not Danny. And I did reach out to Dan. I'm like, hey, you and a buddy of mine knows you. His name is on Twitter. He's like, oh, my God, that guy's a beast. And I'm like, well, he didn't have the college career you had.
Right.
You know, maybe he was in high school. But that's what Jeff said. He's just like, super nice guy, super Christian, and all that kind of stuff.
Now I'm an asshole for talking shit about that.
But
damn it.
Doesn't mean he's not a nerd.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, he's we can't just shove his face into the sand.
He's not Mark Summers.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't owe me $20, so I mean, we're good. Right. We're good on that front.
Double dare you to pay your debt, Mark.
Right? There's going to be a physical challenge, you son of a bitch.
Asshole.
All right, well, I guess, I don't know. I guess we're done, you know? I think we hit the time quota here.
Is there a quota?
We count the seconds.
We could do a 20-minute podcast if we wanted to.
We enjoy hanging out talking the stuff.
It's fun.
All right, folks, well, we want a Heisman, so whatever that means for you, I tried to tell people one of the first things that you can do. Hold on, we got Joe coming.
I wanted to share this little tidbit. Shout out to Howie Lindsay. He's the one that got my buddy to dive down this rabbit hole and figure it out.
Okay.
I've been bitching up a storm that I can't find cool dunking bird apparel.
Yep.
That's because the university doesn't have the trademark.
Mm.
How much is the trademark?
I don't know, but
how do they get it?
Here's what we can do.
What about the Heisman?
That I don't know, but I would assume that the same person also trademarked it.
It looks the same.
So Howie told me that we don't own the trademark and that it was the original artist that did it, and the problem is that, you know, Louisville just doesn't like to pay to use its own image.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. I get that. Mm-hmm. They screwed up. They should have trademarked it. They didn't.
Yep.
But I tweeted that out there, so my buddy, who's actually an attorney, decided he would start researching it and calling some patent attorneys to be like, let's get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
And here's what we know so far, and hopefully the next podcast I will have...
There'll be a time frame on that, right?
Yeah. Well, we think the original owner has deceased. Which then means that it's kind of a limbo trademark. So if the university doesn't snatch it up, boys, I say the Crunch Zone should.
Oh.
I'd say we should.
How much is it?
I don't know.
We can sell it to U of L.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
We can make our own gear out of that?
Yeah, we can make our own stuff with it. So I'm assuming that the same issue applies to the Heisman Bird. But if the Heisman Bird
should have an 8 on it from now on.
Yeah, it should. But something that my buddy mentioned that he's going to dig in deeper on is that's what he believes, but he's also been told from someone else that they believe Converse bought the patent back when Converse had the deal.
So Converse would own it.
Well, the problem with... No, it gets even deeper, my friends, as the world keeps spinning. Nike bought Converse.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was at the Nike outlet last week and was like, why are there Chuck Taylors on the shelf? And they're like, because we own Chuck Taylor. And I was like, y'all bought Converse? And they're like, yeah, years ago.
Wait, is there a difference between... I mean, I know Chuck Taylors are made by Converse, but can you buy a sub-brand of a brand?
Well, he just meant Chuck Taylor. Okay. But that's the only thing that Converse really has in demand.
Yeah. Good baby shoes, by the way. My baby girl's, she's got some Chucks.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. So hopefully we will have the conclusion to this story, or this murder mystery.
That's a hell of a side note.
But, I mean, what he and I were discussing after the game was that if Nike does own that, you can totally see why Adidas doesn't want to cut them a check to put something on it,
right,
on any of their apparel.
Yeah.
So Nike's kind of got Adidas by the short ones on that deal. If that's the case, it may still – it or it could be in limbo, or some random artist in Louisville may still have the patent on it,
or maybe
a trademark.
Maybe we draw one that's – almost like the donkey.
Hey, that's what I was thinking, man. I can draw stuff, so I mean, we could get this
get
taken
it close
care
enough.
Of. Yeah,
that's a little different. Look, his feet are different.
It's different if we put number 8 and not an L on the Heisman.
That's
bird.
Right.
I think it'd be cool. I mean, real quick, Big Time Yurts, love it. Their Lamar Jackson T-shirt that's a tuxedo of what he wore, and then they also have the baby version. Yeah, I don't have a kid, but I may have one just so that I can get that baby.
I was like, how can I make this a feminine thing? Because I've got a daughter, and I absolutely was thinking I need to get her in Lamar, but I don't want to look like a dude either. I need to figure out how to make this.
You need to have a boy.
Yeah,
you
know, get her the Adidas shirt. They put out a red shirt. It's the Heisman Bird silhouette, I believe, but it's gold.
Okay.
And has number 8 on it, I believe.
All right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. That's probably the most interesting thing we talked about in the podcast.
Hey, you know, you sat through 90 minutes of us rambling. I figured I'd give you that, and we'll get some closure on this.
It's like the Easter egg in a video game. So if you survive level 12, you just got it.
It's like at the end of those Marvel movies. You know, you got to sit through the credits,
right,
and then you get the preview for the next one.
Yeah, we definitely need to organize when someone's got the coolest story in the room. Try to get that one out a little faster.
Except at the very, very end.
You know what? I almost forgot to tell you all about it. And then this would have just gotten lost.
Hopefully we'd roll it in next week. But, you know, he's wearing tuxedos on Media's Row now. That's what TBG does when he shows up.
T-shirt, baby. It says I'm professional, but I'm here to party.
It's like, I never knew you needed a monocle. You've got a monocle. Yep. So, all right, folks. Well, thanks for tuning in this week for the Crunch Zone podcast. Don't forget, you can set us up for immediate download on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio on any app that delivers podcasts.
Next time we record, it's Kentucky Week.
Next time we record, it's going to be Kentucky Week, so we need everyone to bring their A game because we sure as hell will. Any last words?
Go Cards.
Go Cards and go Kroger.
Help the show by leaving a rating and review behind on iTunes, Google Play, and on the Stitcher Radio app. Plus, you can dig deeper with the guys on Twitter, Facebook, and at thecrunchzone.com. Thanks for listening, Cards fans.